set.
You are listening to Two Magicians, One Mic.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Magicians, One Mic. This is a little bit of a different episode this week. And also, thank you for listening and subscribing. I've not done an intro in a long time. We're trying to streamline these. We get right to the interview, get to the good stuff, and you don't have to listen to me babble. But I thought I should explain a little bit about this episode. This is with my good buddy Paul Whitehouse. Paul and I used to do... we both trained at Second City. We did the conservatory, the musical conservatory over there. But also we used to do school assembly programs. And this makes sense for the story he tells because he ties it in to a rather kind of terrifying and personal experience he had. And we used to do school assembly programs. We'd travel all over the Midwest and teaching kids how to not bully and, you know, how to take care of themselves and be healthy and different programs like that. And we had some pretty crazy experiences, I should say. And Paul's a theatrical professional as well in Chicago. He, you know, directs a lot of stuff. He is an actor in a lot of things, and he teaches a lot of, you know, youth programs and things like that at theaters like The Goodman and whatnot. A lot of famous theaters in Chicago. He's a great guy. But he's also, like I said, a storyteller, and he does a lot of storytelling events. And this is a story he wrote that ties in to a lot of school assembly programs we did. Like I said, we used to tour across the Midwest, and we toured for probably about two years in my little Chevy Aveo going around, for weeks, about a week or two, a month, just to different schools around the Midwest. And it was a very eye-opening experience and not glamorous at all. But the story he tells is very funny, and I've heard him tell it live, and I thought it would tie into the performance aspect of this show. So that's why I'm making a little bit of a shorter episode this week, but I felt it was necessary and fun for everybody to hear. Real quick, if you want to find us on the Facebooks, we are facebook.com/twomagicians. We're on Twitter at Two Magicians. I just created a SoundCloud account, and it has all of our it's strictly for interviews, so it has all of the kind of best interviews and, in my opinion, best of shows up there. It's just soundcloud.com/twomagicianspodcast. And if you like the podcast, donate a dollar or two right on our website, twomagiciansonemic.com. And if you have any fan mail or hate mail, please send that to twomagiciansonemic@gmail.com. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy this kind of micro episode with my good buddy, storyteller Paul Whitehouse.
As I sat handcuffed to a wall in the police questioning room, a police officer swung her head into the room and said, "First you said you're an actor, and now you say you're a teacher. Which one are you?" I go into schools, and I perform assemblies, and I tell kids not to bully one another. Hey, everybody. We are so excited to be here today. We've heard so much about you guys. Your teachers, principal, and counselors all got together and called us on our top secret hotline in our underground laboratory. And they asked us if we could come here today and talk about how to not bully one another. And we said, no problem. So today, we are going to talk about the 5 ways to make your school bully-free. Number 1. Do your part by reporting. Number 2, make this an all-inclusive school. Remember, there's power in numbers. Number 3, be responsible. Number 4, stop and think. And number 5, be respectful. Number 1, do your part by reporting. It's Easter Monday, 2010, and I had one thing to do that day. I had to mail the money that I owed to the state of Illinois. All I had to do, but I didn't have a stamp. So I left my registration. That was just the sad truth of the day. I left my Rogers Park apartment, and I got on that bus that you get on at Morris, and it loops back around and takes you down Devon, if anyone lives out there. And I got off at Devon, and I went to that post office at Devon and Clark, and I waited about 30 minutes for a stamp in line. put it in the mail, and I was relieved that the easiest part of my day was done. Okay? And as I walked out, there was a Clark bus coming north, so I hopped on that bus, and I got off at Lunt, the street that I lived on, and I started walking. I got that feeling like I was being followed. The feeling like many of us have gotten in Chicago. But I rationalized it. Paul, it's daylight. You are 6'3". You are well over 200 pounds. No one's going to fuck with you. Just when I thought that, someone jumped on their back, put their arm across my neck, and took me down to the ground. At that point, I thought, well, I'm going to find out what a knife in the rib feels like. Luckily, I didn't get a knife in the rib, but I backed up, I put my hands in my pockets, and I looked right at him, and I said, "What do you want?" And he said, "You've been following my nephew." What? So I stand up, I run as fast as I can down Lunt, and I scream, "I've been attacked! I've been attacked!" To which no one turns their head. And I run right into the Heartland Cafe. Number two, make this an all-inclusive school. Remember, there's power in numbers. 10 minutes later, I was seated at the bar at Heartland Cafe telling what just happened to me to anyone who would listen. And I'm shaking and I'm drinking a glass of water. And a woman comes in the restaurant and says, "Are you attached to what's going on outside?" I went outside, and the guy that attacked me was gone. But a much larger, older man was there. Standing next to him was someone who looked like his wife. Standing next to her was what looked to be a 10-year-old boy. They were talking to a police officer. I ran up to the police officer and I said, "I've been attacked!" To which she said, "Please step back, sir." I did. All the anger mixed with adrenaline, the anger started going away, and I started getting really scared because the gentleman every once in a while would look up at me, and I could tell he was talking about me, and I had no idea what he was saying. The family left. Police officer came up to me and said, "That boy that was just there, have you seen him before?" "No." "Are you on any kind of medication?" "No." "Have you seen that boy before?" "No." "Are you on any kind of medication?" "No." "Please step back, sir." I was then told to get into the back of a police car and that we'd figure all this out. They then asked me a number of questions. Asked me my name, then they asked me my address. I said that I live at 1310 West Lunt. And then they asked me for my ID, but I still had a Wisconsin ID because I'd never switched it, so my address didn't match where I lived. And then they asked me if there was anyone at my residence that could vouch for me. And then I told them that I lived with my ex-fiance, so, and she's not there. And then they asked me my profession, and I told them that I was an actor. And there were two police officers in the front seat. One was typing this information into a form, and the other police officer that was driving shot that police officer a look, and then she deleted actor and put unknown. Now I'm a lying child chaser. Number three, be responsible. When we got to the police station, I got out of the police car, and they informed me that to go into the police station, I had to be handcuffed. So I hung my head in absolute shame, and I walked in to the police station. But as I did that, I started to look into the different rooms where people were being held, and I realized that, like, I looked like the kind of person that should be arrested. Because I only had one task for the day, I didn't really prep myself to go outside. didn't comb my hair that day. I was wearing my favorite college long sleeve tee with the writing worn off. And when I was attacked, I bumped my elbow and I bit through my lip. So I was bleeding down my arm and I was bleeding down my shirt. And then I was wearing my favorite pair of jeans that were ripped from about here to about here. And I was wearing moccasins. Number four, stop and think. I waited for about 3 hours for something to really happen. And during those 3 hours, I was handcuffed to a wall. And at one point, I looked at the handcuff and I felt my wrist in it and I giggled because I had reached my point of emotional processing. And it was a really funny feeling to have my wrist in a handcuff. Number five, be respectful. After those 3.5 hours, a detective came in and things finally started to make sense because she looked exactly like someone out of NYPD Blue. She had on a power business suit. She read me my Miranda rights and she said, "Paul, there are some pretty serious accusations against you, along with chasing this child. You're being accused of stealing his backpack on March 16th. Oh, I thought I was being accused of being a child molester. What I was being accused of that day was of following that 10-year-old boy and harassing him into the Family Dollar on Morris. So what had to be done was a police officer had to drive to that Family Dollar and get the footage from the security camera. Three things were learned after they looked at the security footage. Number one, I wasn't on the tape. Number two, no one that looked like me was on the tape. And number three, a kid wasn't on the tape. I asked if I could press charges against the person who attacked me, to which the detective said, "What would really charge him with? Battery?" despite being assured that I had done nothing wrong, I still was fingerprinted and had my picture taken. And then I was released to go back to my empty Rogers Park apartment to prepare for a 10-school tour in Central Ohio next day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Two Magicians, One Mic podcasts. Please rate us on iTunes. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Visit our website, www.twomagiciansonemic.com. Send fan mail or hate mail to twomagiciansonemic@gmail.com. Have a great week.